selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line, lower class and social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they war, they shoot, they kill, they massacre brain, they burn the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie to your face, fight, and die, this God will give. Buying time, killing people next in line, lower classes, social side, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see their shit, force a bear, fuck them back, that's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn, the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV. I'm your host for the next hour. Working on a building, and we're renovating a commercial building. And so my brother-in-law, who's working on some stonework on it, came back to my place for lunch today and informed me that I made the front page of the newspaper, and it kind of threw me because it says, how did I make the front page of the newspaper? And he takes his wife over to see a naturopath in Wacherton, where I went to a meeting about Hydro One. It was put on by our local government representative, Lisa Thompson, who's our member of provincial parliament. And a couple of guys from Hydro One and an ombudsman woman. And I had a few things to say over there because I know the scam inside and out, which took our hydro rates from the lowest, some of the lowest in the entire world, to the highest in North America in just a few short years. So, having understood the scam since the get-go, and having a pile of emails where our energy ministers were being flown down to Enron's head office in Houston to visit Ken the scammer Lay, I thought it was a good opportunity to go and voice a few things, try to get people to understand that these people that put on this meeting was not there. They were not there to help them. They were there to do a bit smoke and mirrors, bait and switches. So I got to speak up a couple times, three times. And I ripped one off the MPP, and I ripped a new one for the Hydro One guys, and I ripped a new one for the ombudsman woman. Because they're all part of the same fraud, and it's called government. And I didn't think anything of it. I didn't think the reporters that were there would touch what I said with a 10-foot pole. They didn't say exactly what I said. They didn't put in the parts about Enron and Morris Strong and how this began in 1992, the same year as Rio. And they didn't bring any of that up in the newspaper article, but I did make the front page of the paper, so that's interesting. And also, he told me that at lunch today, and then also I had some messages, and I was waiting for some calls on some parts, and so I seen there were some calls there. And I don't know if you're listening tonight. I agree with you 110%. It's time. But the message I got was from a gentleman who, in that message, said something like, you know, if I've got the home of Ron Stevens, please, please change your damn music. The show's called Rock the Boat, and the song's got nothing to do with it. So would you be so kind as to change the song? And I appreciate that. But I've had three bands working on a song for Rock the Boat. And the three that I've gotten, I suppose I could use them, but maybe I will use one of them. I have to get the okay from the ones that did it, but they're not there yet by a long shot. But they do say Rock the Boat, so maybe that's what I'll do. I'll clip one of them until we get something put together that everybody can deal with. So that's good. So I made the front page in the news, and I got chastised for the song, the intro song on Rock the Boat, within minutes of each other. So it was fun for lunch. I haven't had a chance to look at much news, but I have been thinking about a few things, and you know, the Reese Commission with Norman Dodds way back in the 50s, I believe it was commissioned to go find out what the hell the tax-exempt foundations were up to. Now, one of those tax-exempt foundations, of course, is a well-known Rockefeller Foundation, who said that some people accuse them of being an internationalist, and if that is the charge, I plead guilty, and I'm proud of it. So, you know, I've had people say the Rockefeller is actually a Jew. I don't know if he's or not. It doesn't matter. If he isn't, he's in their hip pocket and working with them. But, you know, there's the all of these unions. Now, the European Union was built up over the last bunch of years since the collapse of the Soviet Union, or the supposed collapse of the Soviet Union. And then they want the North American Union and the Asian Union and all this kind of stuff. And so we're all talking about union. And I got thinking about it. Well, it was the Soviet Union. And how did that come about? Who financed it? Who ran it? Well, the Jews. So, and that was the Soviet Union. So when Norman Dodds was speaking with a gentleman from the Ford Foundation, and the gentleman from the Ford Foundation asked Dodds what the hell he was up to, and he said, well, I'm supposed to find out what you guys are up to. And the guy from the Ford Foundation supposedly said, well, that's easy. We're charged with Sovietizing America, or the United States. Now, when you think about that, Sovietizing the United States. Well, we have the Soviet Union, which was created by the Jews. So is it really the Sovietization of America, or is it the Jewification of America? And I believe it's the Jewishification of America. But we're not allowed to speak about the Jews in a negative tone, apparently. And whether that's fortunate or unfortunate, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that the Jews took over the banking system. In fact, they may have created the banking system, for all I know. And they were big in the setup of the two world wars. And so, you know, there's a movie out there called America with a K, a made-for-TV movie from 1987 with Kris Kristofferson and a bunch of other people in it. And it's based on the Sovietization of America. It's the aftermath of the Sovietization of America, which has been going on, by the way, for decades and decades and decades. And that comes through the bureaucratic system, not so much the political system, but the bureaucratic system, because the bureaucratic system is set up by the legislatures. So legislatures create these boards and commissions and all this kind of stuff, and politicians come and go, but the bureaucratic framework stays put. This is where the experts hang out. These are the advisors to the politicians. And this is exactly what happened in America with a K. And if you haven't watched it, I really, really, really would like everyone to watch it. It's long. I think it's 13 hours or something. But you can skip through it. If you're astute at all, you'll know where the dead spots are that aren't important, and you'll know when you see an important part. So, you know, it took me a couple hours to rip through 13 hours. So, and I got the whole picture. And it was the aftermath of the Sovietization of America. And that's exactly what we're going through now in the West. Only it's not the Sovietization. It is the Jewification of the West. Now, there's a bit of an interesting some stories, if I can dig them out here. God, I get a lot of links open. Holy lifting. Where is what I'm looking for? I can't even find the story I was reading earlier. Oh, let me see. What am I? I had a friend send me parts of Donald Trump's inaugural speech. He asked me what I thought of it. I said, I hadn't looked at it. Didn't think it was that important. And so he sent me part of it. And damn, where did that go? He sent me part of it, and it was about putting the power back in the people, in the hands of the people. Now, that sounds good. I got some questions about it, and that is, I'm a little concerned when he's talking about putting the government back in the hands of the people. Is he talking about direct democracy? And I got a bad feeling that's exactly what he's talking about. And we did a show on Sunday about direct democracy, and we're going to do it again. I was requested that I bring at least one of those gentlemen on that were on Sunday's show back on Saturday night over Revolution Radio, which is fine with me, to continue this talk about this. But I'm quite concerned that Mr. Trump, when he's talking about putting the power back in the hands of the people, is talking specifically about direct democracy. And the last thing you want anything to do with is direct democracy, because that is on a global scale. And it's used to screw you over, plain and simple. And so we have to be very aware of that little scam. Oh, what is it I am looking for? Okay, I think we can get there from here. For those in Canada, these are the links to Canadian direct democracy. And this, a lot of these links are dead now, because a lot of these links were from early 2000. I think there's a few of them from the 90s. Well, here, let's do it this way. Here's the worldwide direct democracy. Let's see what we can get here in the links. And, okay, you can get to America, which will get you to Canada, and so on and so forth. And what is it? It's in a whole bunch of different languages here, if you speak different languages. But here it says, this is kind of interesting, it says marching toward true democracy. Well, democracy, like politics, is the definition is to divide. So we've seen what a divided nation looks like in the political field. It's ridiculous. So now they want to march towards true democracy. Well, true democracy is basically you're screwed. But there's a story here, and I said this a long time ago, and I say it again. People are so dissatisfied with politics. You know, the politicians lie to get in, and then they never do what they say they're going to do, and they're never held accountable for it. So it just spells it out pretty much. Everywhere the people on planet Earth are angry, frustrated, disappointed with their political systems. For dictators are still tyrants, and so-called democracies are undeniably and clearly undemocratic. Politics still favors the powerful, and political parties are not only filled with incompetent opportunists, but in this highly technological world, they are obsolete. Now, I don't know too many people who could disagree with that first paragraph. Yeah, people are completely dissatisfied with the political system. Why is that? Well, it has to be. If you're happy with your political system, then you're not going to be looking for anything else. And if I'm trying to sell you something and you're already happy with it, what you got, then you're probably not going to buy what I got to sell you. So purposely, the political system is turned into a complete and total shambles. Fewer and fewer people vote every year. More and more people just grumble. And it goes on, it says, Earth. This is, I guess, a message from Earth. It says, Earth, people are weary of fork-tongued politicians greeting uncaring businessmen and the continuous wars they initiate. Everywhere, people seek new ways to govern their society, ways that would be more honest and just, promising a better and safer future for themselves and their children. They seek, and they are finding, new ways that do promise a better and safer future. Among these pioneers, the overwhelming consensus is that all of these new ways, participatory democracy, also known as direct democracy, is the most promising path to that better future. So they make it so nothing's working in the political system in your country, and then they sell you something better called direct democracy. As described in detail in the World Direct Democracy mission statement, all members are dedicated to benefits or promoting an understanding of direct democracy benefits and spreading its influence on planet Earth. The mission of this website is to become a central gathering place for international direct democracy news, discussions, and assistance. If you have never visited us before, come on in, look around. And if you agree with our philosophies, please join us. You can always join or form local groups where you live and link to us. Our main goal is to develop a multilingual global network of websites and offline efforts committed to encouraging more direct democratic processes for public policy decision making. Doesn't that sound wonderful? So they're the boss of it. They encourage you to start local chapters of this thing. No more different than Occupy, made up by the same people as Occupy, Idle No More, Black Lives Matter, and it goes on and on and on. And this is all run in the background by the Jews. And what does this say? Oh, yeah, it's got Occupy right here, reoccupied. Okay, there it is. Right on democracy's mission thing here. Occupy Wall Street, living laboratory of direct democracy. Now, how obvious can you get? Now, we know that Occupy was not some instantaneous event that took place across the world. It was well planned. They have their facilitators. They have their local group members and so on and so forth. All bad about capitalism. Well, the same people that run the capitalism run the communism. So we have a bunch of links here talking about Wall Street movement, the history, New York City General Assembly, the councils, and so we'll put this in here. First, I'm going to look at the links. And if we go to America, we have the USA. And we have a shitload of direct democracy sites. New York City General Assembly, making of the Declaration, Occupied Wall Street Movement, live stream too big to fail. We the People online tool to petition the Obama administration, Direct Democracy Party, briefing tour through Switzerland for Americas, how Swiss democracy works. And remember, Swiss never got bombed in either war. Because that is one of the hotbeds of all this shit that comes from it. Doing government beyond, Democracy for America, Citizens Initiative Review, Washington State, Citizens Assembly Method to choose initiatives worthy of further processing, Democracy by the People, One Day One, America Vote Direct, Senator Mike Gravel, Breakthrough Speeches on Video, National Coalition for Dialogue and Deliberation, Center for Wise Democracy, Digital Democracy Resources, Citizen Power Magazine. It goes on and freaking on here. The Deep Democracy Movement. That would be like the Deep Ecology Movement, which is extremely dangerous and fraudulent, and so on and so forth. The Direct Democracy League, the Direct Democracy Center, Center for Voting and Democracy, Center for Study of Democratic Societies, Democracy Innovations, From Industrial Feudalism to Direct Democracy. Yeah, everybody needs to get in on this and pay attention to what's going on here. So when Donald Trump said that he wants to put the power back in the hands of the people, I would suggest that Mr. Trump is speaking about direct democracy. And it is a very, very nefarious situation because it's all about electronic voting. Voting on the internet. That's why it doesn't matter where you live in Bug Tussle or wherever, doesn't matter how rural and how small where you live is, you're getting high-speed internet. Why? Why do these big companies want to spend this money running lines into nowhere? Simple. So you can vote. But you won't be voting, okay? You'll be voting on issues. This is the way the UN works. If you're voting on issues of local importance and state importance and federal importance, but the real trigger on this is you'll also be voting at the global level. And the white man is going to get outvoted every single time. And it will be international law that nails your ass to the wall. And just look up international law firms. It'll blow your freaking mind. So this is all being set up for your detriment. So I'm going to put this in here. This is Worldwide Democracy Net. These are links to different countries and whatnot. Now, where did I find my... Where did UCY get to here? And I'll stick this in the chat. This is very important stuff to understand. Now, on the upside of what Mr. Trump said is that it's very important. What did I do here? There we go. It's very important that people understand what he said should be very encouraging to the American people. The American people, like people around the planet, are disheartened. They're depressed. They feel like they're beat into the ground. They got to... So it's good that it encourages the people. But at the same time, you got to be careful. You don't want to get led down the garden path. If you're all happy that, oh, you know, we're going to start building cars again and this and that and the other thing. Mr. Trump's a politician. And it wasn't the voters that made the decision who... is going to decide who's the president of the United States. It's the people that control the presidency of the United States. And you didn't vote anyways. It's impossible for a man or a woman to cast a vote, not if you're a citizen anyways, because citizens are subjects. Subjects are pieces of paper, and you vote as a proxy. So don't get too excited about your president because you didn't vote for him. It's impossible. So that the whole voting process is a total scam. This idea that you're a citizen is a scam. But Mr. Trump is talking some pretty powerful stuff right now, which I greatly appreciate. Anything that can make a man, you know, strengthen his mind and his spine has got to be a good thing. But don't be blinded by the speeches. Don't be blinded by the verbiage. Be very, very aware of what's being said. And I do believe, again, that when he says he wants to put the power back in the hands of the people, well, wait a minute, how would you go about that? First of all, people, in legal term, is the same as a human or a person. It's a fiction. So he's going to put the power back in the people's hands. What hands? Your clicker? You know, you're going to click to vote? And who's going to count these votes? Right. The boys of the UN. The same boys that started the Depression and the wars. The same people who took down Russia. the same people that bombed the shit out of Libya, spreading democracy. And it was kind of odd because when I was talking to the boys Sunday about direct democracy, they actually brought Libya up as being a case of direct democracy before the takedown of Libya. So even they said, well, yeah, Libya had direct democracy, but then they wiped it out and replaced it with democracy. So if you think you're going to get direct democracy, forget about it. And you don't want direct democracy. It's a direct screw over is what it is. That's all what it is. So be very, very, very careful of the message and the messenger. But remember, these are our nations. And we have got to get up off our butts. And we have got to work together as men and women, not as persons and not as citizens. You cannot win as a citizen. If you're running around calling yourself a citizen, then you are a loser. Because you've bought into the scam. Then you're protecting the scam. I'm a proud citizen. Well, okay, you're a proud subject. You're a proud slave. Okay, I guess some slaves can be proud. But a man with shackles on is not a proud man. He should be a very angry man. And you've been shackled. You were born into this. We got to get us out of this. And it's not really about us, is it? It's about the kids. It's about the unborn. What are we going to leave for them? Are we going to teach them? Are we going to train them to understand? Are we going to teach them real history? Are we going to get them the hell out of the public schools, which is there? We were all manipulated in the public schools. We were taught things. We never questioned them. So, you know, we say, you know, get vocal local. I think Duck brought that up on her show, and that's exactly what I've been saying forever. You got to get vocal locally. You got to get involved. Now, I just went over to that stupid meeting over there about the hydro, and I made the front page, which kind of threw me because I thought I was not to be written about anymore. But I haven't been to a meeting in a while. Maybe it's new reporters. So I did get a little bit of airplay, or not airplay, but paper play. And I do know that when I spoke to the MPP, my so-called representative, who absolutely refused to meet with me for years now, she was totally shocked to see me there. And it was fun, I guess. Not as much fun as it could have been. Like, we used to take a gang of people that knew what the hell was going on, and we used to go to these windmill meetings where these people were trying to sell the benefits, like the benefits of direct democracy, which are being sold now, and we would go in there, but we knew what the hell we were talking about. We weren't the fools in the audience who could be manipulated by the politicians and the salespeople. And they would run. They would run. They couldn't deal with us because they knew we knew what the hell we were talking about, and they knew they were full of shit. And they knew what they were selling was a scam. And we used to have a lot of fun running these guys and these gals out of these meetings. They would just vacate, like kind of like Snagglepuck, stage left, get me the hell out of here. So I kind of enjoyed it. I was disheartened by the people in the audience because they looked beaten. They looked oppressed. And they were coming to their abuser looking for help. And that sickens me. because that is a beaten people. Only a beaten people would go to their abuser looking for help. These are weak-minded, weak-spined people. So hopefully, my representative is going, damn, son of a bitch showed up and nailed me to the wall. So you got to get local. You got to get vocal because it's the only place you got a voice. You don't have a voice anywhere but where you live. That's the only place you got a voice. You do not have a voice anywhere else. And if you refuse to use a voice, then you are silent. And if you are silent, you are consenting. And what did Warburg say in 1950? We will have a world government by consent or by conquest. Well, your silence is consent. Whining and bitching and complaining in a bar or a coffee shop is not being vocal local. That's called whining and bitching and complaining. That's what beaten people do. That's what slaves do. And if they see any authority coming, they just, whoosh, they might hear what we're saying. You want them to hear what you're saying. You want to scare the living shit out of them because they know, once they know you know, then they run scared. And that's where the fun begins. Okay, it really is fun. It's humorous, too. Let's go get them, you know. And I do believe, again, that Mr. Trump, whether it's his intention or not, is going to raise the spirits of the people of America, the men and women. And for the first time in a very long time, I do believe that those men and women are going to feel empowered. And it's all about empowerment. But it's what you do with the empowerment. Are you just going to sit back and wait for Mr. Trump to fix everything? You're going to wait for the global direct democracy to show up, which is the last. That's the death knell, that is. That is the death knell. Now there's no control anymore. All control comes from outside your nation. Then you pretty much got your back against the wall. So this is the time. Mr. Trump has 4 years. And it's time for the people during this next 4 years to bring themselves forward and to stand upright and to understand that they've been scammed. The people, the men and women, have been scammed since the get-go. And you got to throw the scam aside. Because if you're running around saying you're a citizen, you can't win this fight. You will never win this fight. It's like you got one leg and one arm tied behind your back, hopping around on one leg and swinging with your wrong arm. You ain't going to win the fight. Ever. So start referring to yourselves as what you are. You are men and you are women. You're not citizens. A citizen, by definition, is a slave. And if you're a slave of the state, how are you going to change anything? You're not. This is an absolutely brilliant time to be alive. It's absolutely brilliant. We haven't seen times this interesting, well, since maybe forever. For the first time in the history of man, we have a communication system. We got a toolbox that we can actually accomplish something with. But we're not using it to its full potential. I get very irritated by these online radio shows that are talking about direct democracy. We're talking about Occupy. They're all players. And people get suckered by this constantly. They jump from one and then it dies out, and then they jump the next one that's presented to them, and they get all excited about it. till that dies out. But they don't ever really die out. What they're doing is there's a continual manipulation. Now, you can go to the Rockefeller Brothers Fund and you will find them talking about direct democracy. And so are all the other foundations. And so is the UN. So somebody says, we need direct democracy. You know, you can ask them, I suppose, do you have a clue what you're even talking about? Or are you just a follower? And if you're not a follower, maybe you're a facilitator. But it's illegitimate. It's just as illegitimate as Occupy was, just as illegitimate as Black Lives Matter. These things are all set up, and we need to knock them down. Otherwise, we're screwed. And I don't believe we're screwed. I believe that we're just taking a little longer to voice our opinion than maybe we should. Now, this is interesting. I don't know if I ever put this in. I have a video on my blog called, what the heck is it called now? It's called, Survival Spaceship Earth, I believe is what it's called. Yes, Survival Spaceship Earth. And at the beginning of that video, which was made in 1972, as a primer for the 1972 Stockholm conference on the human environment, which turned into 20 years later, Rio, and in 1992, and 20 years after that, Rio plus 20. And in that movie, and if you haven't watched, I really recommend you do watch it. This may help. A lot of people don't get that, what was in there. Like Rockefeller and Morris Strong and the rest of them, Barbara Ward, and so on and so forth, they're all listed as actors. Okay. I guess actor in this case means facilitator. Because these are the people that have been dragging us down the wrong road for a very, very long time. But in the beginning of that movie, David Rockefeller reads a piece of a speech from President Nixon. And I think this happened, I don't know if it was pre or after he'd been to China. Rockefeller sent him over to China. That's where we got the one child policy. And that's where Planned Parenthood came from, and so on and so forth. They come all out of these Jewish, and if not Jewish, Jewish partnered tax-exempt foundations. So Rockefeller at the beginning, he said, oh, this is really important. You know, this is what President Nixon said. This is what President Nixon said. This is his speech. And this one little thing about population can't allow to be continued to grow at the rate it is. We have to do something. And Tricky Dick apparently figured this out. Not at all. So this is President Nixon's special message to the people. And this is from, when is this from? 1969. Okay, 1969. The movie was made in 72 in the Stockholm human thing in Stockholm was in 72, and the first Earth Charter was in 1970. So here is Richard Nixon speaking to the Congress of the United States July 18, 1969. Special message to the Congress on problems of population growth. In 1830, there were 1 billion people on planet Earth. By 1930, there were 2 billion, and by 1960, there were 3 billion. Today, the world population is 3.5 billion persons. These statistics illustrate the dramatically increasing rate of population growth. It took many thousands of years to produce the first billion. Now, this is the same, this is the intro of which I have on my YouTube. This is the same intro that was in the little animated beginning of speaking these exact words. These exact friggin' words. Now, did Richard Nixon write that for the Stockholm Conference? I don't think so. If this rate of population growth continues, it's likely that the Earth will contain over 7 billion human beings by the end of this century, over the next 30 years. In other words, the world's population could double. And at the end of that time, each new addition of 1 billion persons would not come over the millennia, nor over a century, nor over a decade. If present trends were to continue until the year 2000, the 8th billion would be added in only 5 years, and each additional billion in even a shorter period. While there are a variety of opinions as to precisely how fast population will grow in the coming decades, most informed observers have a similar response. Now, who are these informed observers? Well, could it be Morris Strong and Rockefeller and the Jews and the World Bank and the IMF and the all the rest of the WHO, all of these things that are part of the United Nations? Or is it just from Richard Nixon? But these people agree. These are the same kind of people that agree on climate change, that in 100 years from now, it could raise 2 degrees Celsius, and that will destroy the world, I guess, if the population hasn't already destroyed it. Goes on to say, they agree that population growth is among the most important issues we face. They agree that it can be met only if there's a great deal of advanced planning. And they agree that the time for such planning is growing very short. It is for all these reasons that I address myself to the population problem in this message. First to its international dimensions, and then to its domestic implications. That is the good old global to local bullshit. And it goes on and on and on. So we need international cooperation. It is our belief that the United Nations, specialized agencies, and other international bodies should take the leadership in responding to world population growth. The United States will cooperate fully with their programs. But then you see, the United States is a member state of the United Nations, as have been implementing their programs since the get-go. I would note in this connection that I am most impressed by the scope and the thrust of the recent report of the panel of the United Nations Association, chaired by John D. Rockefeller III. The report stresses the need for expanded action and greater coordination concerns, which should be high on the agenda of the United Nations, i.e. depopulation. So, this is what we have here. In the United States, for some time, population growth has been seen as a problem for developing countries. Only recently has it come to be seen that pressing problems are also posed for advanced industrial countries when their population increase at the rate that the United States, for example, must now anticipate. Food supplies may be ample in such nations, but social supplies, the capacity to educate youth, to provide privacy and living space, to maintain the process of open democratic government, may be grievously stained, says Mr. President. In the United States, our rate of population growth is not as great as that of developing nations. In this country, in fact, the growth rate has generally declined since the 18th century. The present growth rate of about 1% per year is still significant, however. Moreover, current statistics indicate the fertility rate may be approaching the end of its recent decline. Well, 1% is not even replacement value. Several factors contributed to the yearly increase, including the large number of couples of childbearing age, the typical size of the American families, and an increased longevity, so they don't want you to live too long. We are rapidly reaching the point in this country where family reunion, which has typically brought together children, parents, grandparents, will instead gather family members from four generations. This is a development for which we are grateful and of which we can be proud, but we must also recognize that it will mean a far larger population in the number if the number of children born to each set of parents remains the same. In 1917, the total number of Americans passed 100 million after three full centuries of steady growth. In 67, just half a century later, the 200 million was passed. If the present rate of growth continues, the third 100 million persons will be added roughly a 30-year period. This means by the year 2000 or shortly thereafter, there will be more than 300 million Americans. This growth will produce serious challenges, of course, for our society. And it goes on and on and on and on. And it is this is a fairly long speech, and it is from President Nixon. Then we have something in here from Dr. Mumford and some other stuff. So this is called Church and State is the name of this site. And challenging religious privilege in public life. But this is the Richard Nixon speech in 1969, and it's exactly what was presented in 1972 at the Stockholm Conference on Human Environment, on the human environment. And what it says there is you people are causing the earth problems. So that's Richard Nixon's speech. And we'll put that in there, and then we'll buzz back, and we will go, and we will find quickly, if I can dig it out here. I got so much of this shit open. Okay. Now here's the population and the American future. The Rockefeller Commission report, Population, the American Future, report of the Commission on Population Growth and the American Future. And you will find that you will find in here, I may have to do this on another show when I got more time, because it's very, very interesting. People look at celebrities. They, in fact, vote celebrities into power. I mean, give me a break. And why do they do that? Because they think they know them. Because they see them on TV or they see them in a sporting event. That shows you how dumbed down the people have gotten. But this is let's see, what else I got off of that? Oh, I see. I was reading some of this. There's a bunch of chapters in here. But you will know once you look through the Rockefeller thing here, which was the commission, and he was with through the UN as well. You will find who actually wrote President Nixon's speech, and it wasn't President Nixon. Presidents don't write their own speeches. But this is also the influence on politicians. Like I said, the politicians come and go. The politicians don't set the agenda. The agendas are already preset when the president or the prime minister arrives. Why? Because the place is full of experts and commissions and boards that have been there for decades and decades and decades. And this is who tells the presidents what the crises are of the day and in the future and how they need to deal with them. And then they write it up, and then they coerce the heads into regurgitating their nonsense. And it's no different than the IPCC with their climate change shit. Same game, except it's even worse because, as I said before, the original thing of renewable energy, it wasn't about renewable energy. It wasn't about saving the planet. It was about becoming energy self-sufficient so the hot Saudis couldn't hold the West hostage. But it was bigger than that. It was there to open the gates to destroy our manufacturing. And that's exactly what happened, and that's exactly what was done. So I encourage people to go through those two pieces. I also encourage, if you haven't, I encourage you to watch this film, because all the things are tied together. Let's see, we'll just see if we can dig this up here. Here it is. And I'll stuff that, because these are all interconnected. This film and, come on, load up here. An error occurred. Okay, but that's my problem. Let's see, I'm going to run out of time here, and I'll get this loaded pretty quick. Come on, load up. Here we go. Okay. Now stick this in here. Go through Nixon's speech. Go through Rockefeller's crap. Here's the video, which is based on... This is the prelude or the prepper for the 72 Stockholm deal. And you have in this film right near the very beginning of it, Rockefeller, looking so concerned and stern and so worried about everything because of Mr. Nixon's speech. And these people wish to depopulate the planet. And we need to deal with that. The whole idea of environment is a total and complete scam. And we are being taken down in the West, as strong Rockefeller bum boy said. Isn't the only hope for the planet that the industrialized nations collapse? Isn't our responsibility to help bring this about? And this is all a Jewish conquest, right from the get-go until we end it. And we're going to have to end it or suffer the consequences. And I see by the clock on the wall, I'm going to hear the music. The guy called and wants me to refill place. We're working on it. I'm freaking up to my ass in this commercial building. And there's only so many hours in a day, and I got to do research and yada, yada, yada. So I'm doing the best I can, folks. So I'll leave you with this thing. Pass this information around and get local, get vocal, and hold these sons of bitches' feet to the fire. Take care. Take care.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people that's in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesar shit, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they more. They shoot, they kill, they master cocaine. They burn the kids, no one thinks gun. Trees, lie to your face. My name.